welcome. This is God is in This, the podcast ministry of Bethany First Church, United Church of Christ in Bethany, Connecticut. For more than 270 years, our congregation has gathered in covenant to worship, grow, and serve, grounded in faith and open to the Spirit's movement in our time. As an open and affirming church, we believe every person is created in the image of God and fully welcomed here. Across every race, gender identity, sexual orientation, age, ability, and background. Each episode features a Sunday sermon from our pastor, the Reverend Jonathan Paradis, or from a guest preacher. A message rooted in Scripture, shaped by justice, and alive to the questions of today. Whether you're walking the dog, commuting to work, folding laundry, or simply pausing for a breath, we're grateful you've chosen to spend this time with us. Here at Bethany First Church, we believe God shows up, not only in the sanctuary, but in the struggle, in the doubt, in the joy, and in the everyday. So wherever you are, and however you're listening, welcome. This is God is in This.
I definitely got a full night's rest last night, so hope you notice the difference. Pray with me. Spirit of grace, open our ears to hear your word of mercy, and our hearts to receive your call to return. Amen. Last week, we heard from Isaiah, a prophet who spoke to people living through division, through exile, through a heart experience for their culture, for their life, for everything that they thought they knew was solid, and they lost it. The fear that God had abandoned them, that their temple was destroyed, that all they knew was sacred and holy was taken away from them. And Isaiah stood in the ruins of a people who turned away from a covenant of faith. And yet, Isaiah still proclaimed the vision of hope. He reminded them, and he reminds us, that even when all seems lost, God's presence has not left. And today we move from Isaiah to Joel, a prophet who spoke to a people not just after the exile, but in the middle of a devastation. A plague of locusts had swept across the land, destroyed everything. Their harvest was gone. Their future was uncertain. Fear and despair filled the air. And in Isaiah's world, the people wrestled with what already had fallen apart. Now in Joel's world, people are wrestling with what's falling apart in the moment. And right there, in the middle of that destruction, God speaks to them. Yet, even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart. Even now. God's not saying, fix what's broken, or not after you've changed, or not after you've earned your way back. God is saying, even now, return. Because the historical context of Joel, it stands as a bookend to Isaiah, which is a story of judgment and redemption. And Isaiah speaks to the rise of the Assyrian Empire, warning that injustice, idolatry, oppression, it would bring ruin if God's people did not turn back. His words held both a promise and a warning. God's holiness cannot ignore sin, but God's love will never abandon the sinner. And as Joel writes centuries later, after the exile, after the people have returned, after the temple's been rebuilt, but before the people had gained confidence in God's faithfulness. Joel isn't speaking about armies that are attacking. He's not speaking about politics in this time. He's speaking about a natural crisis. A swarm of locusts entered and devoured the land. But the spiritual question is the same in both books. What happens when disaster strikes, when things are falling apart, when we face crisis? How do we see God? Is God condemning or is God compassionate? And Joel's answer is profoundly clear. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And I do want to pause here because last week I misspoke. You know, I'll blame it on the sleep deprivation. But maybe I spoke prophetically. Maybe I spoke in a way that made you think about something after you left here. And it does deserve careful reflection. I did say God condemns. And in that context, what I meant to say was God doesn't condemn the way we do. And appropriately, that's the heart of what we wrestle with today. Traditionally, theology teaches us that, yes, God does condemn in the sense that God is just and that evil and sin and harm cannot stand unaddressed before divine holiness. That is a form of condemnation. And the scripture is clear about judgment. Matthew 25 shows the Son of Man separating the sheep from the goats. Revelation 20 speaks of the final reckoning before the throne. And John 3:18 says, whoever does not believe stands condemned already. But we can't just read those verses alone, because that's an incomplete answer. And it's harmful, because for those of us who live in reflection of life and ministry and the eternal work of Jesus Christ, that's not where the story ends or begins. Because just one verse earlier in 3:17, in John 3:17, it tells us, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So yes, simple answer. All right, here you go. Ready? God condemns sin, but does not destroy the sinner. God condemns evil, but does not crush creation. Because condemnation is not the end goal of God. Salvation is. And as Christians that we live on this side of the scripture, we can reflect on the entirety of it. And we can see through a lens of the grace and mercy of Jesus. We know that God's story is not about destruction, but about redemption. God is in this story to save creation, to redeem it, to reconcile it, the entire cosmos of everything created, to return that to God. And that's the story. That's the big picture story. So the thing is, like, where do you start with your theology shapes where you land with condemnation. Because how you understand God determines what you expect condemnation to be. For some, condemnation is God's justice, right? The wrath of God. God's setting things as right and fair and as the holy judge. For others, condemnation is God's love. The moment that mercy stretches out far enough to burn everything away that harms. And the truth is, both are right in their own ways. And as the church, capital C, throughout history, it has held these truths together. We call these theological worldviews. And there's four that are the most general ones that are accepted because they help us understand what we bring into scripture as what we expect from God. The classical theism, right? God is holy and unchanging. This is the view that shaped much of Orthodox, Catholic, and Protestant theology. That God transcends, that God is perfect, that God is unchanging. The strength of it is that it gives us confidence that God is just, fair, and sovereign. Condemnation here is about justice. God condemns what is evil because love cannot ignore what destroys creation. But it has a weakness. It can make God seem distant. Judgment can feel like cold law rather than love. Renewal often feels like something that happened after death, rather than something that is supposed to happen here and now. Then there's process theology that reminds us that God is not untouched by our pain, that God actually feels our pain and changes with our pain and suffering that is experienced by creation. The strength is that it reveals God as compassionate and active and responsive. Condemnation here is not a punishment, but an opportunity to tell the truth that the divine grief names what is broken so it can be healed. That condemnation is part of the healing process. The weakness is that it risks softening God's power. That if God can only be persuaded and not transformed. Yet renewal here is powerful, and the love keeps working until everything that it resists finally gives in to love. Then there's open theism, that God is free and responsive. Open theism believes that the future is not fixed, that God knows all possibilities and walks with us through real choices. The strength is that it honors freedom and makes sense of prayer and change. Condemnation here is a consequence, not God's vengeance. But it naturally flows, turning away from love. Renewal comes from when we turn back, when we return to God and God's meeting us there with new possibilities for grace. The weakness is that it can make some uneasy, as if God doesn't fully know the future. But it comforts others because it means God is not the cause of harm, but the companion of harm through it. And then there's liberation theology. Born from the cry of the poor, that sees God's condemnation as a divine refusal to accept oppression. God condemns injustice because God loves the oppressed too much to let the harm continue. The strength is that it connects to faith in real life, to do justice, to do the work of equity, to find freedom in this world. The weakness is that it can focus so much on systems that it forgets the personal and inner work of repentance. But renewal here, it is resurrection. God raising up a world that has cast down, turning condemnation into liberation. And all these four views, all these four perspectives, they're all saying the same thing in their own way. That God's goal is not destruction, but redemption. Condemnation is not the end of the story. It's where truth and love meet so that renewal can begin. And that's our story today. That's what Joel's telling us today. To rend your hearts, as Joel says, not your clothing. Clothing is superficial. It's on the outside. Changing your heart takes real work and real change of mind and thought and belief. And Joel's not calling us for theatrics of fear, but honesty and work of depth. God doesn't need the outward show. God wants the inward surrender. Because repentance isn't about punishment. It's about relationship. And if you're a parent, you understand this deeply. It's not about getting your way. It's about safety and protection and love and growth. So when we repent, we're not earning forgiveness. We're responding to forgiveness. We're returning to the love that never stopped waiting for us. And there's something paradoxical, right? This word that means two truths can be this, can contradict each other but still be true. It's a tension between opposites that reveals a deeper truth. It's condemnation that allows for the return. It's that truth that makes reconciliation possible. God names the devastation, acknowledges the consequences of human failure, and yet even in this harm, what if God's condemnation is actually the moment where truth breaks through the illusion? What if the judgment of God isn't an exposure of what's false? It's so that truth can be restored. In that sense, condemnation becomes the doorway to redemption, not the end of it. It's the invitation to begin again. And yes, we've definitely abused this idea, and we've harmed people with it, and we've said things like, God has a purpose for everything, even in suffering. Even if we meant it well, but often through insidious theology. Because God's goal isn't to harm people or to hurt people or to cause devastation to people. God isn't trying to cause pain or suffering. God's goal is for us to return to God. When God says, "Return to me with all your heart," God is saying, "I've seen the worst of you, and I still want you." And that's where our scripture meets us today. We live in a time where the language of judgment is often weaponized. People are easy to condemn one another in God's name and use the scriptures to do it, while forgetting that the goal of judgment in scripture is not to exclude people, but to restore them. And Joel reminds us that repentance is not an act of fear, but it is an act of faith. To return, to trust that that God's hands are open and they're not closed fist. That mercy is stronger than wrath. That love has the final word. So when we confess, when we turn, when we open our hearts again to God and to one another, we are participating in the great reversal of the divine love. When condemnation gives way to compassion and judgment is transformed into joy, that's the church. That's our ministry. That's the places we're supposed to step into. These places that offer the return, a place to come home. So I close with this. And if you remember anything at all that I said, remember this. Even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart. That even now includes every regret, every failure, every moment you thought was too late. Even now, God's mercy reaches further than any mistake you've ever made. That even now comes with a welcome, an invitation to come home to the one who is gracious, who is merciful, who is slow to anger, who is abounding in steadfast love. For in every return, there is renewal. And in every confession, there is compassion. And in every heart that turns back to God, God is already waiting there. May it be so.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon from Bethany First Church. If you're nearby, we'd love to welcome you in person. Worship is every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. right here at 511 Amity Road in Bethany, Connecticut. To learn more about our ministries, upcoming events, or ways to support our mission, visit bethanyfirstchurch.org. Or follow us on social media at Bethany First Church. We're so glad you joined us, and we hope something in this message stays with you. Until next time, may you walk with courage, live with compassion, and always remember, God is in this.